What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Absolutely not, because you love me. It's Weekend at Effie's. Where do we go this weekend? We go to a magical birthday party where we discuss primates and rice cakes. And, of course, I make it completely on time and not in a rush to my wonderful Chicago home of freelance wrestling. Find out all this information and more on the premium Nickelback podcast, Nickel Track. Welcome back to Nickel Track, the only podcast devoted to every single track in the Nickelback library. Today, we are finally getting in to the deluxe edition of, what's the album called? Get Rollin', the new album from Nickelback. We're going to be talking about the track Even Steel Rust today. Is this too...
Even Steel Rusts?
Yeah. Oh, steel still rusts.
Still poor sentence construction.
They're from Canada, Pitar. You know this. We've discussed this on our Nickelback podcast. What's your favorite song on the Get Rollin' Deluxe album? Is it the acoustic version of...
Steel Still Rusts?
Well, they've got a live version of that one, too. The acoustic version of Tidal Wave? That song's about a tidal wave. Not a real tidal wave, but it's about them watching the movie...
The original version is good, but you just don't really get what that song means till you get to the acoustic version.
So love me when I'm here, love me when I'm gone, love me when I'm scared, won't always be there.
I remember going to see the first Spider-Man in the theater with my dad, the Tobey Maguire one.
That a hero can save
and,
us.
Then seeing the second one, which had Dashboard Confessional instead.
Oh, they sure did.
And my dad going... I like the song from the first movie better.
What was that Dashboard song?
What was it? Let's find out.
Vindicated. I am selfish. I am wrong.
That might have been it. That might have been it.
I am right. I swear I'm right. One time I saw Third Eye Blind and Dashboard Confessional open, and they were not into it. So, also that band Augustana opened, and they played, I think I go to Boston. Think I start a new life.
I saw them,
and that's the only
times.
Song anybody knew. They said, "All right, we're finally gonna play Boston." And everybody's like, "All right, it's over." Okay. All right. That's not what this podcast is.
Was vindicated.
Yeah, I fucking know.
You're
my
now
Spider-Man
vindicated.
Soundtrack. I am vindicated. I am right. I swear, I'm right. I swear, I knew it all along, and I am fine.
Effie is fine,
and Effie's fine. And I'm cleaning up so well. And I'm seeing in me now the things you swore you saw yourself. Okay? Welcome to Dashboard Confessional, the only podcast where we talk about every Dashboard Confessional song featured on the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack. What was the song from Spider-Man 3?
I don't know.
I think we've got to pick this out.
Is that a Tobey Maguire original?
It may have been when he did his emo dance. Spider-Man 3 soundtrack... it looks like there's not necessarily, what? Yeah, I don't see a good song.
Was that the problem?
I think that had to be the problem. 'Cause I know that a hero can save us. That's a sick song. Do people really hate Nickelback, or do they hate how good Nickelback is? One time after a show, I'm not going to let you answer that. One time after a show, I was with my good friend Jerome Champagne, a.k.a. Tom Tom, who was here in the house over Christmas. He used to come to shows with me to help sell merch because he didn't have anything else to do.
Someone named Jerome Champagne was at the house, and I didn't know this.
Well, it was Tom Tom, but I used to call him, like, I was doing a bit. Surprise. And I would refer to my merch person as Jerome Champagne, and in the middle of matches, I would go, everybody go give Jerome Champagne some money for my merch, and then I go back to beating people up. Yeah, so Jerome Champagne was with me after a show, and we went to a hotel, obviously, after the show was done, and I ordered Taco Bell, and we watched the Three Doors Down Tribute to the Troops concert, and I got so frustrated by song 4 that I threw a burrito at the wall. Yeah, just like chunked a burrito directly, like splattered on the wall. I was kind of a diva in this moment, and I'm glad I've, you know, put that behind me. I'm very humble. About my success now. And did you see that article where I was named the number 2 free agent in the world of wrestling?
Who's number 1?
CPA. This was an opinion article, but me and Joey Janela were both on the article. I respect and honor it. Do you know about CPA?
No.
The Abominable CPA?
No.
It's fantastic.
Isn't that a name for like a tax accountant?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he wears multiple shirts, so he'll rip his shirt off, and he's wearing the same button-up underneath the shirt, and then he'll get pulled by his tie, but it's a clip-on tie, and he'll put another clip-on tie back on. It's really good stuff. But then under both shirts is a Taylor Swift shirt that he reveals at the end when he does his final
is
shirt.
Is it always a Taylor Swift shirt?
Oh, yeah. He loves Taylor Swift. Unlike Courtney Love, who, let me just say this, okay? Courtney Love has only written 3 good songs. Sorry. Plus, do we even say the other thing? Do we even talk about what she did to Nirvana? I personally think Nirvana fucking sucks, okay? And the worst thing Nirvana ever did, this is going to be the most controversial, this is going to turn off listeners. The worst thing Nirvana ever did was create the Foo Fighters. No, you just gave me a look. Yeah.
Do you want to know my favorite Nirvana song?
Yeah.
Their cover of Man Who Sold the World by David Bowie.
Do you think it's better than the Bowie version?
I think it's better than any song Nirvana ever wrote.
Do you remember when the Foo Fighters played an AIDS denial concert in 2001?
Yeah.
Yeah. So fuck the Foo Fighters. If I saw Dave Grohl in concert, I'd push him off the stage and hopefully he'd break his leg. All right. I'm not holding back today. We have a lot of controversy to get into. We have a lot of, if you listen to the mini-sode, you'll know. We're probably going to talk about Journey again. All right. I'm forever yours. 5th singing segment so far. Faithfully. I don't even know how they do that sound. Was it a keyboard? Nobody knows. This is Weekend at Effie's. We are a podcast devoted to the world of professional wrestling. I'm here with professional wrestling expert, Pitar. And along with me, I've seen a few matches.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple matches in my life. You know, maybe at least 6 matches I've seen. I've been in a few matches. Pretty crazy, if you think about it. And I was put to the test this weekend. Now, this was a rest weekend for me. This was supposed to be a very easy, sensual weekend to just celebrate who I am, a champion, a revolutionary, an iconoclast. But I was put to the test, and I couldn't stop thinking the whole weekend about what you told me, which is you will always feel late, but you will never be late. And that's part of my pledge with the Dark Lord. We're not going to get into it. We've both pledged to the Dark Lord now. And I just want to mention, I didn't mention it on the mini-sode, when we went to see Monkey Man with my good friend of many years, Luis Gonzalez of Liberty Tattoo, who you should go and do appointments
with.
Yes. Fantastic, fast, artistic. You had a few changes to make on your tattoo, and he was swift and polite about making all the changes. We were both sitting there with him in between us, and he has both permanently marked us. It's like going out with, like, your dom, you know? This is the man I let ride on me. I only let one man ride on me, and it's this man. Me and my friend, we both get written on by this man. We're going to the movies. That's how I felt. But I love Luis. Last night I realized, you know, they announced my title match this weekend against Blake Christian. Coming up on the 21st, we'll obviously be 420 in LA for the How High show, which I'm not allowed to legally smoke weed. But thanks to Real Kind Meds, he's bringing me some weed-free treats, which we've discussed. Pretty excited. Send me a picture of one. It's a fatty. Not like that. I'm not doing drugs that I'm not supposed to do.
It's crazy that this is how you're just talking about like regular
treats.
Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nerds ropes. Nerd ropes or Rice Krispie treats, whatever. Fatty. It looks like the Hobbit could live in one of these things, is what I'm going to say. I'm going to show you in a minute. We'll be in LA for the How High show against the Stoner Brothers, Bussy versus the Stoner Brothers, which, you know, my limits are going to be tested this weekend. And even more so when I have my title match the next day in the home of Breaking Bad, Albuquerque, New Mexico, as we wrestle inside the building that was the setting for Better Call Saul. The exact building.
Fucking awesome.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. But hopefully I can get out of Albuquerque without trying some of the product. I know that the Southwest is known for mini crystals like turquoise and meth. And, you know, we've made a pledge not to partake in any of those activities because it would be illegal. And we would not want to do that. And I don't want to go down a dark path. Right?
Yeah.
I got a lot ahead of me. Yeah, I don't need that dark path. Nah. In the gay community.
You don't want the drug years section of the Wikipedia.
Yeah, no,
page.
I don't need that. I've had that. I've been through that one. As I was mentioning yesterday, I have oopsie done meth twice. I hope my mom is not listening to this. I know she is. God dang it. I've oopsie done meth twice. I will never again. All right. I didn't know. I don't know.
It's real easy to oopsie, though.
It is easy to oopsie.
It's very easy to
oopsie. My whole life is an oopsie. Didn't mean to be here. Didn't mean to be an award-winning podcast co-host. We are still award-winning.
Yeah.
We won the QWI Best Podcast last year. And guess what? You think we're not going to win it again? I'm not saying it because I'm effie. I'm saying it because where else are you getting this kind of insider content and this kind of information? WeekendAtEffies.com. That's spelled exactly how it sounds. If you're wondering, how do you spell effie? Either fucking or fighting you. E-F-F-Y. Okay? Electric, fantastic, fuck you. Every F slur fights you. That's another, yeah. Or even F slurs fight you, which is, I don't know. I probably should move away from that one. I don't think that one's going to sell a lot of tickets. Right?
Probably.
Either way, weekendatfs.com. Sign up for the Patreon. A lot of people are already on there. You're getting bonus content, bonus episodes, and what's going to be a very long vlog because I keep forgetting to edit the vlog. So if you're wondering where that vlog is with over a month of information, and maybe once a month is okay. Because it's, you know, I don't want to just squirt out whatever's there. I want to give you the best of the best. Sign up for the Patreon. PTAR does a wonderful job upkeeping the Patreon. And you also get to follow our private Letterboxd.
Yes.
And that means you'll get to see the reviews of the films we're seeing this week on the minisode. We discuss getting to see Civil War, Monkey Man, and The First Omen. Or as I'm calling it.
Baby's First Omen.
Baby's First Omen. My First Omen. Somebody said, what did you see? I said, My First Omen. Like, it's like a Fisher-Price toy. It could be. All great films. We go into detail on all of them. And we have a debate section over Civil War. I picked the Union. Why'd you pick the Confederacy? I'm just kidding. It's not like that. It's not that kind of debate. It's a photography debate. I threw you under the bus on that. I'm sorry. We would never pick the Confederacy. We actually, our current home, we may have mentioned this before. We are next door to the building. What?
These motherfuckers,
yeah.
These furry ones sitting next to
puppies.
Me,
you can see it on the video if you're on our Patreon.
Just getting up and running to the door, running to the window. Nobody there.
Yeah.
Nothing going on. Like 6-7 times this weekend. Like full board. They're like I thought. Oh shit! Did AJ just come over unannounced or something? Nope. No one there.
No, I've heard you outside on the porch talking on the phone before, and then that's not where you were at all, or you weren't here at all. It is, we're next to the Union Hospital that was used during the Sherman Raid of Atlanta in the 1860s and 70s, and that is the building next to us, and this building itself, if I'm in the shower, I thought it was the concussions for a while, but those little girls argue in the hallway while the shower's on.
Yeah.
It is not the concussions.
Yeah.
Because that has subsided a good bit. I've been taking my lion's mane mushrooms every day.
Hell yeah.
Which has been helping, I think, with brain cognitive function. And I still will use my concussions as an excuse to not go do things. So I'll say things like, oh, I have light and sound sensitivity. I can't go to the after party. And I will admit it to you here that it's kind of bullshit, but also I'm not going to the fucking after party. That's an extended fee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want me to come socialize and have people ask me questions about Effie? You need to tell Effie something about Effie?
Effie?
At what?
I don't.
Huh?
Huh? You said extended fee.
Oh, and yeah, an extended Effie. The Effie is equivalent to the work you're going to get out of me. But also, I know what you're paying some of these motherfuckers that nobody gives a shit about. And let me tell you this. If they were going to provide so much to your promotion, why can't they sell more than 1,300 tickets for the TV show they're on? All right? I'm not a guy who's, you know, saying, oh, I want anything to be less than successful. But when you have 40 of these dudes and they sell 1,300 tickets to an arena show, maybe paying them $8,000 to come to your show makes you a fucking idiot. And then they're going to argue with me over $100 either way. Girl, my price is reasonable. Somebody said, that's expensive. I said, that is not expensive. Talked with Gringo Loco about it. I said, we need to be more expensive. We are those girls. They are coming to see us. Okay, I'm not going to be that girl this week. I went to Chicago. It's the only show I had. It was fantastic because that means I got to spend Friday night with you. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Got to be normal
people.
Have
a pickle.
Yeah, and then I didn't even fly out the next day until, well, it was supposed to be 3 p.m. So AJ came and actually picked me up, and we went and got La Fonda. Those enchiladas at La Fonda are so fucking good. Have you ever had their enchiladas?
I haven't.
Okay. AJ gets the veggie enchiladas with the verde sauce. But I, you know me, I'm trying to do everything I can to not eat humans. So I get the pork because that's enough of a substitute. But they do have beef and chicken enchiladas. I get it with the verde sauce. And those are the freshest goddamn enchiladas I have had, not just in Atlanta, but anywhere. Those are so, like, it is, the corn tortillas are made fresh. The pork is slow roasted fresh. That verde salsa is just like, and I'm very excited this weekend for Albuquerque because they're famous for their green chili. And I want to go eat fucking New Mexican food with green chili all in it. And I was a little sad at first because I was like, oh, I'm going to miss my stream. But we've moved the stream. Monday Night Raw, moving to Tuesday. See you next Tuesday. Because my flight home from Albuquerque was not leaving Albuquerque until 5:30 p.m. on Monday.
Oh, shit.
Which I was like a little concerned. But then I thought about it. And I talked to Brett about it, too. And he was like, have you been to Albuquerque? And I was like, no. He's like, yo, it's super cool there. We can just hang out and like enjoy the town and get food and like be regular people for a day. Does that not sound like a kind of fun? I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's hit it. Let's do it. So I'm going to go win the GCW championship against Blake Christian. I'm going to go eat delicious New Mexican food as much as I can. And here's what I was contemplating. And I brought up Luis earlier about permanently scarring us. One of the early tattoos Luis did was the one on my foot of the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. And we briefly talked about me texting with Cody over booking Soraya Sabre at the brunch. I think once I finish my own story this weekend, I'm finally going to show Cody my dusty tattoo.
Yeah.
Hey, Cody, I know you're busy. You're the world heavyweight champion.
Here's the photo of my foot.
I've had your dad tattooed on me, on my foot, since 2014. And I wanted you to see that I also completed my story, and he's my dad too. So maybe I shouldn't say it like that.
You should. Yeah. You could just be like, I don't know.
Your dad also inspired me to be the wrestler that I am today.
But you send him a video and you wiggle your toes a little bit.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, because, you know, I think that's part of the reason me and CM Punk have had a little bit of trouble, you know, forming a friendship.
Because he's a big feet guy.
Because he sent pictures of my feet to Drew McIntyre, of my Drew McIntyre foot tattoo. And then I called him out on it, like, oh, you're sending foot pictures of me. So beyond anything else, I think he's like, oh, this guy thinks I'm a foot pervert. I don't want to like, but I just want to say, like, I don't think that about you. Like, it's a funny party story. I think CM Punk is one of the best wrestlers, best in the world. Okay. You saw the picture of him and Brett hanging out, right?
Yeah.
I got to be cool with him. Yeah. Brett is like a real big, they have a relationship now.
Oh.
You know?
Okay.
Did I show you that? I showed you that picture after Monkey Man, didn't I?
Yeah. Something's up.
Something's up.
Yeah.
I can't get into it. Something's up. Nobody will tell me. And if you won't tell me, I get to speculate. All right. I've made hints at it to management, but nobody will tell me the truth. And I just want to say this, and I want to assure everyone out there, no matter who comes and what happens, Effie going Effie. Okay. If there's one thing you know about me, I'm going to be a bloody little gay boy with the mouth of a sailor. I'm going to be a brat with opinions, and I'm going to be a CM Punk fan for the rest of my life. All right? You may think, oh, is he compromising? Because he said some other things. Guess what, bitch? I'm a Gemini. I can say whatever I want, and I can say the opposite completely, and it can be within the same breath. I love CM Punk. I love WWE moving to Netflix. I love Cody Rhodes. I love Sami Zayn. I love
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who you may recognize as the voice of Maui from Moana. Moana 2 in theaters this fall. Just got confirmation. That's why The Rock is not going to be able to do any more matches.
You know we're getting Moana 2 and a live-action Moana.
That's too much Moana. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they spelled it out for us because I thought the movie was called Mona for a long time. It's not how you say it. Moana. Did you see, what was the one about the superpower family in Colombia? Encanto? Did you see Encanto?
No.
Oh, Encanto fucking
No,
ripped.
I saw the death one.
Oh, Coco.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's do a double feature of Coco and Encanto before Moana 2 comes out. So we're fully enveloped.
I didn't see the first Moana.
What? There's a sign in the storm and the fan and it's all I see. And no one knows how far it goes. And it's haunting me. And the little chicken, and he goes, Mark! You never saw Moana?
No.
The fuck is happening here, Bitar? Every time I think you're a movie expert, oh yeah, I've never seen Moana. I've never seen Titanic. I've never seen Avatar 2, The Way of Water.
I've seen the first hour. Look, I'm sorry. That movie.
You didn't even get to Kate Blanchett.
It's just the same thing.
Kate Winslet.
It's the same.
It's not the same thing.
It is.
It's not the same thing.
It is.
There's extended tribes and okay. Oh, who is that as a little Navi girl? Even though in the last movie she was a woman. Who is that? You may remember her from Alien. Sigourney Weaver. Yeah, she comes back as the miracle child who's connected to the Tree of Knowledge and then has to find the underwater version of the underwater tribe. And guess what's coming in Avatar 3, Pitar? The Fire Nations. So Avatar is actually becoming Avatar. Okay. We have the Earth. That was the first one. We have the water. That's the second one. Now we're getting the Fire Nations. Wait till you see the ones that live in the sky. Okay. The Wind Nation. And then Aang comes and unites the nation. Wait a second. James Cameron, have you been watching the cartoon of Avatar and then just turning everyone blue and doing the same? We gotta do some more investigating here. Okay. I've said it 31 times on this podcast, okay? When the young Navi boy climbs inside the whale and attaches his ponytail to the whale's long stick thing and the lights come on and their friendship bond forms and the whale is clearly Vin Diesel, that, to me, single tear down my cheek, okay? Does it help that I saw Avatar 2 Way of the Water in theaters at the, what's that theater called? I pick.
Oh yeah, the have real fancy there? One now.
Oh, it fucks.
Is that also AMC or is that
no?
Okay,
we gotta go.
Okay,
here's the thing about it. I was like, oh, this is gonna be expensive, and then you get to the chair, and then you have a digital screen to order, and they just bring you all your snacks and stuff. I didn't give a shit. I spent $80 at the fucking Avatar 2 Way of the Water screening. I kept ordering different things, not cocktails, desserts. Okay. I can never fault AJ for ordering drinks at dinner because I will order as many appetizers and desserts as he does drinks and it will all even out.
Mm-hmm.
But if we both gave up a little, we would make it even further. So I go to La Fonda with AJ. We get lunch and he says, this is my favorite. He had told me, I'll take you to the airport. I'll drop you off at the airport. And then he goes, can I just drop you at the MARTA station? And I went, no, you can't promise me you're going to take me to the airport and then just leave me at a train station. He was like, what? You can't handle it? And I was like, okay, I can handle it. But he said, fine. And he drove me to the airport. Guess what? It didn't matter when I fucking got to the airport because our flight was delayed over 3 hours.
Damn.
Here's the worst part. I get through TSA pre-check plus clear, which I have. No line. Very easy. Checked my bag. And we were at the T15 gates. Now, you know the T gates. They're the first gates you're going to run into. You don't even have to get on the train at the airport. And I said, oh, this is great. T15. We're flying right out of here. This is good. Wait around. When it gets to boarding time, they go, hey, we're going to be boarding a different flight here now. Hang tight. And I go, this flight's supposed to leave in 20 minutes. We don't even know if we're at the right gate. Then what do? They adjust the gate to D1. Which is not only four train stops down, but it's the furthest gate down the hall. You have to walk the whole hallway. And I was like, God dang it, here we go. So I don't know if they're trying to like, oh, we're going to go ahead and start boarding. We're down here. So I rush. Now, as I'm rushing, I do want to point out, I ran into one of the best Atlanta wrestlers of all time, AR Fox, of the WWA 4 school of AEW, of Ring of Honor. And I went, Fox, I'm late for a flight, but I want to say what's up. Love you, dude. And then he went to LA and wrestled on Chris Hero's show. Very good. But it's rare I get to see him now that he's a TV star. And it was a lovely moment because a lot of his students are now a part of Effie's Big Gay Brunches,
oh,
part of GCW, Teriyaki, Mr. Danger, Rico Gonzalez, all crazy people that have come out of the WWA 4 school. There's plenty more that I could mention, but Air Fox has trained these kids to be nuts. Mr. Danger, for example, is out of his fucking mind. That man jumped off a fucking 12-foot ladder onto people on the floor. Like, just nuts of stuff. But Fox teaches them how to do it and not die, I assume, because they're not dead. I saw Fox. I went to the gate. They don't even know where the plane is that we're supposed to take.
They lost the plane.
They lost the plane. What was funny about this, just to fast forward, is when we got on the plane and I was talking to the flight attendants, they were like, we've been here all day. They just wouldn't give us a gate to come to. Like, we've been on this plane since 12 this morning. Like, they wouldn't even find it. And I was going, something's not adding up. So we sit at this gate another 2 hours and I'm looking at my clock. Now, sadly, Allie was one of the many victims of some kind of illness that overtook Philly. And it set in with her, and she was not going to be able to make it to our tag team title defense. So I said, all right, it's all resting on me now. I've got to make it. And the time keeps ticking, and it keeps moving forward. And I'm going, this is comical.
Into the future?
Into the future. Who is that? The Steve Miller?
Michael Jordan.
It is Michael Jordan. You know he's saying, I believe I can fly?
Yeah.
I like that common misconception has now become an absolute necessity to believe, to ever think that you can watch Space Jam without feeling guilty for the women tied up in that man's basement. Not Michael Jordan's. Michael Jordan, you have a beautiful voice.
The only question I have is, do you have your passport? Do you have your shots?
Do you want to come to America with Rob? Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. I did. I don't know if I should even say this. I did make a controversial statement yesterday. I believe there are two uses for AI that are acceptable. One, replacing all child film actors. I don't think children should ever be actors.
I agree with that one.
They're creepy and it ruins their life. And after hearing that interview with Taika Waititi, where he was like, oh no, we find actors that they're very naive and they don't have a lot of skill. And we bring them in, we do a few movies and we ruin them and then I get rid of them. And you're like, I think you're a piece of shit. Child actors should be replaced with AI. All of them. Until you're 18, you should not be allowed to act in films.
Yep.
And
yep,
I know
yep,
that would
yep.
change the trajectory yep. of Jimmy Lloyd's life. But, you know, this guy did one movie with De Niro, Angelina Jolie, Matt Damon, and said, I've done enough. I'm going to do some real fucking art. And now, well, just you wait, people. When they announce what's coming for Jimmy Lloyd, Jimmy Lloyd is going mainstream, y'all. There's no denying it. Go watch Talk to Me and then come talk to me.
That was so on one of the most recent Blank Check mailbags, they were like, okay, one movie directors that you're the most excited for, you think that are really going to like do something here. The number one that they named there, like the Talk to Me guys, like that is an exciting fucking career that is about to happen.
Yeah. And they're crazy.
You know what they're doing next?
The Street Fighter,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So basically they were like, yo, A24 lets us do whatever we want because we're so good now. And when we were in Japan with them, I was like, oh, we're leaving. Are you guys staying in Japan? He was like, yeah, I think we're going to go see Kojima for a little while. And I was like, what? And they were like, we're going to go hang out at Kojima's place. And then the next thing I see is fucking Rakaraka hanging out with Kojima. I'm hinting at a lot of things, but I'm very excited to see, for Jimmy Lloyd's sake, where this goes and how this looks. It's a real thing. It's wild. Jimmy Lloyd. Okay. And the second thing AI can be used for is to re-record all of the R. Kelly songs. I think you remove him entirely from it. You pretend it's a whole different person singing the songs. But watching the first Omen yesterday and not being able to really sing out loud, we're having a baby, a little boy, a little girl. It made me very sad. And so I need someone to use AI to re-record this monster's songs. Michael Jackson's too while we're at it. I mean, fuck it. You know what I mean? Gary Glitter, re-record that song with AI. It doesn't even have vocals, I don't think.
Were you talking about the baseball one?
Bow, bow, bow. Bow, when you find out that was the soundtrack to him trying to fuck children, it makes it a little harder to want to hear it. I guess he does the haze. Hey.
Da, 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 da.
Bow, 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 bow. Hey. We got to AI that.
Yeah.
So all rapist pedophile music, AI, use it for that. Anything else, though, I'm opposed. Okay. But I will say, did you see that AI yearbook photo? Did I send you that?
AI yearbook photo.
Oh my God. This is, I'm sending you this right now. Hold up. It, the longer you look, and I'm vehemently opposed to AI. Okay. But I do want to say AI did give us George and Shemp, Buddhist, Bryden, Chunas. There's also two, Borts. There's inside you. There are two Borts. So there's two Aidens, two Borts, Shimp, Fooby, Foob, Fooly, Hobum, and Hogby, Broop, Furitz, Clarser.
Okay, I'm a big big Shamp fan.
Are you more of a Shamp or a Shimp?
I don't know. I like Shamp. I also really like Hummers.
Hummers. Hummer's going through it. George seems like the one we need to watch out for.
Fooby, yeah.
What about Ashley Jin?
Hoban needs to be on a watch list.
I just want to say that Chunas and George, puberty hit early. That is, they look like disciples of Christ.
Ooh.
They look deep. So, fuck AI, but also, please re-record the R. Kelly songs with AI voices, and... get children out of film. Like, I'm laughing at this. I don't need it to exist.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Nah.
Like,
nah.
Someone would have been dumb enough to make that eventually as a human.
Yeah.
So the flight keeps pushing back. And eventually they say, okay, we're going to get to Chicago. Luckily, there's an hour that goes back because it's Midwest time at 7:35. Now, the show goes live on pay-per-view. Freelance wrestling show. Live on pay-per-view. 8 p.m. And I said, hey, buddy, to the promoter, you got to push me back. He said, I'll push you back as far as I can. There's only so many matches. It's okay. So we finally take off, make it to Chicago, get to the runway. I think we're taxing to the gate. We are not. We have to sit on the runway until 8:15. And I'm going, 15 minutes ago, this show started. I'm at fucking O'Hare. I have to get to Logan Square. I don't know if you're familiar with the geography of Chicago. O'Hare is not near anything. It is very far away. I get off the plane. I huff it through the international terminal. Why we were there, I will never know. And I grab my bag. I get in my rental car. And I huff it to the building. Now, I do not pull up to this building until 9:07. I park really fast, illegally. I just said, fuck it, risk it. And as I'm going into the building, I realize intermission is on. Because everybody's outside. They're all going, Effie! Effie! I'm going, fuck. Because that means there is one more match, and then I'm on. Which means I have roughly 20 minutes, at most, to get this shit together. Now, luckily, I had good people in my corner. Because Sonny Kiss and Darren Corbin were my opponents for the evening. A triple threat match. Now, Sonny, I know Sonny's moves. I know what Sonny does. I know what kind of attitude me and Sonny can have together. Darren Corbin, I know he's a piece of shit. So pretty easy. Happy 20th anniversary in the wrestling industry to Darren Corbin.
He's chickpea, right?
Which one?
Chickpea?
What do you
mean? He didn't know what chickpeas were?
Oh, yeah. He didn't know what chickpeas were on the floor. He's chickpea. We can call him Garbanzo. You fucking Garbanzo. We did a match recently at Second Wrestling near Chicago where... we brought out a can of chickpeas for him at the end after I beat him. Fantastic. I also want to say that once I win the GCW championship this weekend, all singles matches I have will be for the GCW championship anywhere in the world. Why? Because I'm a fighting champion. I stand by that. So we chat a little bit. I change. And as I am changing and frantic, there's a voice behind me going, everybody, listen up. Hold up. Everybody, come over here. Listen up. And I just yell out, shut the fuck up. I'm not listening to you. because I'm in a mood. Well, it turns out it was Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali. I've been saying it incorrectly. Mustafa Ali. And he comes up to me and he goes, oh my God, I was like, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to put this together. And he was like, I'm sorry. This isn't about you. I just have to get them together for this run-in at the end. I said, it's okay. And I said, Eid Mubarak. And he said, wow, thank you, buddy. And I said, yes, because it's the end of Ramadan the night before. And Eid Mubarak means blessed feast to you. Now that Ramadan is over, there's a blessed feast. He won the night before for New Japan Pro Wrestling, cut an impassioned promo, not only about Palestine, which I thought was valiant, but also about the fact that he is not featured in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament this year, which I think is a little farcical because he has been on a 30-win streak, not only in New Japan, but all across the globe. Seems a little silly to not have Mustafa Ali be in your Super Juniors tournament. I'm hoping things change, but it was very exciting to see Mustafa Ali. I did not mean to disrespect him as he was behind me, and I ended up being a part of the run-in later in the night, so I went out and had the match. I didn't lose, but I didn't win. That's the problem with having three people in a match is it's not just win or lose. It's win, lose, or did not participate in the finish. So I did not participate in the finish. I was attacked a little bit accidentally by Sunny Kiss. Let me just say those boots connect. She connects with those boots, and I got back to the airport after because I was flying home at 6 a.m. And I cut a little thing for the vlog that you'll see where I said, I'm back in the same terminal. It's only been a few hours. Did any of this really happen? And then I noticed my eye is turning black. And I said, oh, no, I have a black eye. It did happen. This wasn't a dream. I haven't just been in this terminal the whole time. So finish that. I go and they said, we have to make sure Storm doesn't leave the title match against Mustafa Ali.
What? Okay. Hollywood calls. Say, Effie, it's your time.
Yeah.
We have the perfect project for you.
Okay.
It's a remake of The Terminal.
How do I live in this terminal? Robert Zemeckis, how do I live in a terminal? I don't know if I can live in a terminal. What country was he? Was he from a made-up country?
They made up the country.
Because
yeah.
It was so offensive to anyone that yes. Tom Hanks would talk yes. like that. Now, here's another thing and a reason I'm against AI. Ever since Castaway, obviously, Tom Hanks was killed on that set and then replaced, much like Robin Wright in The Congress, which we watched together, where she gives her body and emotions to film and cinema to be used in whatever way possible. And since Castaway, Tom Hanks has obviously been an AI digital manipulation that is so necessary to Hollywood.
Do you think that she knew about the AI thing back when they, like, do you think Zemeckis was working on, like, the Skynet of this shit back when they were shooting Forrest Gump and the Congress is her admitting?
Yes. She's, and that's why, like, her roles have drastically gone down, you know? Because she admitted it all out loud and they tried to bury that film. Like, mm-hmm. I bring that film up to people and they're like, what are you talking about? And it's like, yo, that film has a lot of like big actors in it and is crazy. And I know it's a little bit artsy fartsy. Okay. But Robin Wright admitted to all of us what was actually going on in Hollywood. All right. Your favorite Hollywood stars, they're AI manipulations. They are digital projections. And Tom Hanks has not existed as a human being since Castaway. And why do you think he was the first person who got COVID? Why do you think they're able to make a Toy Story 5? It's not because the material's good. It's because they just type in what he says and then a Tom Hanks voice comes out. Okay. Why do you think he was every face, including the little girl, in the Polar Express? Okay. He is a digital manipulation. They have tested it across all forms. And The Terminal is a great example of them going, can we digitally manipulate Tom Hanks' likeness and voice into a character that is somewhat foreign? And they did it. Yeah. Remember Cloud Atlas?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, they were like, this is the best we've done so far with manipulating Tom Hanks. And you may be saying, but Halle Berry was also in that movie. Oh, yeah. Huh. Wonder why that is.
What about Tucci?
Stanley Tucci? He's a real human being, and he's searching for Italy. We're here in Bologna today, looking for the best in produce, fresh produce, and fast sandwiches. If you're one of the laborers that works here in Bologna, in the many farms and fields, you'll know about these sandwiches. And my daughters today are going to be helping me find Italy. I'm searching for Italy. No, Tucci's a real person.
Okay.
But he keeps it a secret. He knows, which is why he made that CNN series. Because he was like, I got to get out of Hollywood. I got to do something real. Where the fuck is Italy? So he's been searching ever since.
I hope he finds it.
Yeah. Well, I'm here in Roma, Italy. Right by the capital of Italy. We're in Sicilia today, talking about all the beautiful seafood.
Sicilia?
Yeah. Isn't that what they call Sicily over there?
Is it?
Sicilia.
Sicilia.
Yeah. Sicilia is an island, but it's near Sardinia. And the fish from Sardinia called sardine. You have a little fried fish. Very good for you. Yes, the little fried fish are very good for you. Hydroponic farming helps everyone on the mountain coasts get the food they need.
Okay, I need two impressions.
Okay.
One, and I'm surprised I've never asked you to do this.
All right.
Can you do Asmodeus?
Yes, of course. Are you kidding me, Barney? We can go right into it. Asmodeus, the prince of the demons.
That rules.
Yeah,
that's
what
great.
What was hard when I when the cartoon came out and the third book of Dead India comes out next week. I get my pre-order. I'm so excited. I purchased it like the rest of the world. Hamish was like, do you want a copy? And I was like, I already pre-ordered a copy, dude. Like, I'm excited. And I want people to buy the book because...
Is there a plushie?
No, but I think we could make a plushie.
Okay.
Because legally, I think that Netflix, after canceling the show, does not have the rights to the merchandise anymore. The merch deal I signed sounded really good. They never made merch. So it was going to be great. But I think that we can... I say fuck it.
Okay, plushie and then dog costume.
Asmodeus dog costume?
Asmodeus dog costume.
Bro, you gotta be kidding me. This is crazy. I can do the voice. When the cartoon came out, though, I was in that period post-Japan where I like literally had no voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my curse. I'm permanently this voice, and now I'll never be able to have the voice again. So now, years later, here I am. I can still do the voice.
Okay, Copley and Monkey Man.
Okay. Hold on, I have to, okay. You're supposed to be the Monkey Man. You've got to be the Monkey Man. That's your job. Your job's not to win. Your job is to go out there and get hit in the face, and then you get knocked down. The rupees are enough. This is not half to pay. What do you want? There's a blood fee. I gotta fix it.
It's slightly verging into Arnold territory.
Oh no! Well, we did watch Predator yesterday.
We did watch Predator yesterday.
I watched part of Predator yesterday. Jesse Ventura with a chain gun. I gotta tell you, I probably am gonna be the governor one day. And a lot of people don't know, but the government has secrets they're not telling you. Get this, get this. You're not gonna believe me. I have the documents. There's an invisible alien that's come down. And he can hide in the bushes, and he has heat vision. I've seen him. I was in Vietnam. That's Jesse Ventura.
The Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. Charlton Copley. Oh, we gotta. I'm gonna fix that because it's like it's South African, but it's a very pointy South African.
It's
not Leo Blood Diamond South African.
It's South African that's been living in India for a decade.
I can't wait for you to watch the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry, all you had to do was be cordial. Why can't you just be cordial for 3 hours? I'm not paying you for this. It was incredible. He's great.
Who is that with him?
Charlton Copley.
Oh, my God.
Invites him to a party, incredible. And he says he has to be cordial. And then he's like, you weren't cordial enough, Larry. I'm not paying you. But it leads to a lot of other things. And then I'm not spoiled. I don't want to spoil this. It's great because it comes full circle.
Hell yeah. Of course.
It can't be cordial. Okay, so I finished the match. Literally, I'd been in the building, you know, all of 15 minutes before I went through the curtain, and I made them announce that my flight landed at 8:35. Like, I was like, I just got into town. Whoa. Ugh. Okay. Into the show, though, they grabbed me. They said, we got to make sure Storm Grayson doesn't run away. He did try to run away. I went back out again, but I had not been given any instructions on what was happening. So I just filmed a video of me kicking Wes Barkley. Shout out Maserati Wes. Just kicking Wes Barkley on the floor with my phone on screaming World Star. And it was awesome. I sent him the video later. I was like, here's me beating your ass on the floor yelling World Star because I have no clue what the fuck's happening. But they started attacking and I was like, fuck it. I'm going crazy. Finished the show. Now, here's where it gets a little wild. I'm at merch, and number one, someone in the audience was holding up a 3-foot by 5-foot flag of the one and only Nicole Kidman from her AMC ad, which they have, look how they massacred my girl. And I loved that Louise even said that too. They massacred my boy. And they did. They massacred it. There's multiple versions, but they made it sound like they were doing, oh, we're three new versions. Like, y'all just cut it down into three different choppy ass ways. Yeah. So.
You could have just left it.
You could have just left it.
You could have just left it.
It was perfect. And every time they would go, because here they are, I would grab AJ's arm and I would whisper it in his ear. He didn't like it. But I did. But I look out in the crowd during my match and they're holding this flag up. And I point at it. Then I went down to merch after the show. I was being a little rowdy, okay? And they gave me the Nicole Kidman flag. They said, it's for you. It's yours. And I was like, what? And I know I sent you that picture of me with it. And I didn't, like, tell you right away, like, it's ours? It's ours. So we will have, do we have this here? Oh, it's hanging right here. Hold me closer, Nicole Kidman. Take me out to AMC. Oh, yeah. We're holding this up for the video right now. If you don't have video, you're not getting it. Look at her. This is my Olympic flag. If I was going to represent a nation, it'd be the nation of cinema. God, she's perfect. But why is her head in front of the projector? I'm not going to question her. I'm not questioning you, Nicole Kidman. So we will have this flag up soon somehow. But I was gifted the Nicole Kidman flag. Now, here's where I'm going to be a little cautious talking about some of the things I did. I was yelling out crazy stuff, and I was speaking with Cota Hernandez, who's another of the freelance wrestlers, and he said, you can't just yell that out loud, can you? And I was like, I'm Effie. I can do anything I want. And I was yelling for a particular gift to be sent in my direction, and it was. And then the person said, if you want more gifts, you should come to our after party. Now, listen, what did I say earlier? I don't go to the fucking after party, okay? But I talked to James, who's a promoter there, and he was like, hey, you and Sonny are at the same hotel. You have a car. Will you just take Sonny with you? I said, yeah. And I said, Sonny, how mad would you be if I went over to these dudes' apartment for like a little while? And Sonny was like, I don't care. Like, whatever. That's fine. And she was like, down to go. And I was like, okay, sick. So we end up rolling into this dude's birthday party that's down the street. Me and Sonny kiss, just vibing. She's chilling. Now they're like, oh, do you want a beer? And she's like, I don't drink. And I was like, I don't drink. They're like, oh, do you want to smoke? She's like, I don't smoke. I was like, I don't smoke. So we're just hanging out. We find the birthday boy, and they do what birthday boys do, which is be sweet and kind to me, but also ask me to chop them in the chest. Now, Pitar, you can guess. The thought process is that wrestling's fake, you know. And so when the fans are asking us to do these things to them, I cannot hold back. I cannot be polite. I cannot do it softly. And I felt very bad because it was this gentleman's birthday. But I was asked to chop this man. And I, even with a shirt on him, it was horrific sounding. And I know there's a full handprint on this man's chest. And it was, you know, it's Chicago. Things happen. But I know the neighborhood thought a gun went off. Because I wound up and chopped the fuck out of this young man. And he still gave me gifts on his own birthday. We hung up for a minute. And then I finally said, we're out of here. We left. Because I had to board the flight at 5 a.m., right? And we got Taco Bell. I bought Sonny Taco Bell because I'm a sweetheart.
We had a Did they bring the green sauce back?
I don't know. Are they supposed to?
I don't know if it was a dream.
Well, it sounds like a good dream. Peter has a dream that one day the green sauce will be back at Taco Bell. Verde. They call it Verde. They do have the new Cantina tacos, which fucking rip.
Because I'm pretty sure I saw a commercial for the Cantina tacos with the Verde sauce.
Okay, I bet it's back.
Do you want to go get Taco Bell later?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it. I think we have to wait a little later. It gets better as it gets later.
It does.
But this particular Taco Bell, which is over by Rosemont, which is near O'Hare, I don't know how to put this politely. There's actual Mexican women that work there. And so it's so much fucking better. Like, the whole staff is Mexican women. And it's like, I know Taco Bell is not like real Mexican food, but it's almost like there's a point of pride to make sure they're not putting the shittiest food you've ever had out. And so, like, every time I eat at this Taco Bell, everything is seasoned well, cooked perfectly. Like, nothing is sloppy. Everything is served right. And it's like, I wish I could tip you more. They won't take tips. I've tried at this Taco Bell. But we get Taco Bell, go to the hotel, and my flight is supposed to board at 5 a.m. to go back home. So I get to the airport after laying down for 2 hours. I have to drop off my rental car. I take the train in. Now, luckily, they had clear and pre-check here as well. Shout out O'Hare. Get right through the line, get to the gate, and I am informed that there is a delay. Now, here's the kicker. The delay is because the flight that got in the night before got in too late, and the staff had to rest for a mandatory period of time. It was the same staff that was on the flight that flew me into Chicago. So I got there so early that the staff themselves were like, we can't even work yet. And I was like, all I've done is work. This is crazy. I could have slept in another 2 hours. So we did not. We were not legally allowed to take off until 11 hours later, which was 7:35. So I just sat at this airport. I went and got a nice cold brew from a local coffee place there. I don't remember what it was called, but it was there was a lovely lady running the booth. Gave me a delicious cold brew and a chocolate milk. And I sat at the gate and I waited. And then I landed and got home. And you may think to yourself, Effie, take a break, take a rest. Well, I did. I took a social rest, right? There's the seven forms of rest, which is sleep, exercise, nature, social interaction, antisocial interaction, which is like being alone in the quiet, masturbating. And what's the seventh one?
Vengeance.
Yeah, I don't know all seven. Masturbating's not one, but it seems like a form of rest. I don't know.
Yeah.
Feels fair.
Yeah.
But this was a social form of rest for me where I was going to do social interacting that did not have anything to do with wrestling, which is wonderful. Here's why I have to be cautious. I don't know. Maybe I don't have to be cautious and she doesn't care, but I'm just going to be cautious because it makes me sound more mysterious.
Yeah.
I was invited to a friend's party that I did not even realize was a birthday party because she didn't want anyone to know it was a birthday party. She said, I'm having a little get together, a couple people. I'm getting it catered. Just come hang out. And not only did she have Willie's Mexicana catering, which was great. She also had the, not Federal Donuts. What's the other donut place? Not Voodoo. Sublime Donuts, maybe?
Sublime, yeah.
Okay.
They the crazy ones. Rip. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was one with malted milk balls on it. There was a coconut that just fucking ripped. There was like a lemon curd. I don't know. It's so fucking good.
I remember 2020 when it was like the big campaign to support black businesses during that time. That someone was like, oh, yeah, Sublime, by the way, black owned. And I go, okay, I will be there every single day.
I will be there every day this month. They also have that, the sweet potato one. Have you had that one?
No.
Oh, my fucking God. It is so. And they're 24 hours. And I love that they're a 24 hour business where it's like, if you go in there at 2 a.m., they are no fucking nonsense. Like, come up in order and get the fuck out. It's 2 a.m. You want donuts? Great. We're here. Do not waste my fucking time. Like, I need that at the 2 a.m. business. Because there's a lot of shenanigans at 2 a.m. when you're just trying to get donuts. Shout out Sublime Donuts. Incredible. If you're in Atlanta ever, go get Sublime Donuts.
Yeah.
Now, we're getting a Voodoo Donut over here. I'm pretty excited for that, too. I know it's a little more...
Officially a pizza place, not a Zesto's.
Officially a pizza, which we need a pizza place because you don't think it's a swap, do you?
No,
you don't think Moonlight Pizza's moving over there?
No,
you think
because
the, done?
It's, I think, but Moonlight, look, let's be honest, Moonlight, not good.
Wrong. Have you ever had their meatball subs?
But pizza, though?
I don't order pizza there. I order meatball subs. So maybe it should be Moonlight Meatball Subs.
Maybe it should be Moonlight Meatballs.
The meatball subs, fuck. The french fries are great.
Pizza, not good.
Well, speak for yourself. I've never had it. I'm defending a pizza restaurant where I do not order pizza. Either way, I was glad to find out it's not as Zesto's because, like, I joked about it. I was genuinely concerned that there were going to be dip cones that close to my house.
Oh, my God.
Like, I can walk one block and have dip cones.
Yeah.
It's over for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be Yokozuna.
It's not even far enough where you go, oh, I'm getting a little bit of exercise. No.
This is a block. Like, and you would pass it on the way to work every day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can't have a Zesto's there. So thank you, pizza restaurant, for not allowing that to happen. Voodoo Donuts is going to be sick. We went to the one in Universal and we got recognized. It was awesome. Felt like a star.
That rules.
It does rule. What was I saying? Oh, so we go to this birthday party. Sick. It's great. Me and AJ went. Very low key. Also, just like a lot of regular adults, like, which was very fascinating. Mm-hmm. First big point of contention, rice cake.
Aww.
This dog. She had been fostering this dog, which I probably just gave it away because if you saw my Instagram, I was putting like, please foster this dog. I need him to get fostered because I was so close to taking that dog. Mm. And rice cake kept getting in my lap, kept just sitting in my lap and hanging out. Kissing me, and one of the guys there was like, "That's your dog now," and I was like, "Don't just, I can't." And really, it's more because I can't put any more on you. You are already like the mensch of menches that is saving my life, watching out for Bebop or watching out for Cranberry when I have to go out into the world and do my tasks, as they call it, when I have to go perform my dance. And so to put this dog on you, it was this dog though was like Lucy 2 years ago, just like.
Yeah.
So lovely and fun and crazy, but energy everywhere and tippy tapping on everything.
Yeah.
And rice cake is not the name that this dog should have. This dog should be called like Bibby Cakes or something. I don't know, but it was perfect. Just a muscular little pity boxer mix.
Aww.
Perfect, small, like in between their sizes, but wide as a fucking door. And just was being so sweet. We were playing fetch. We were having so much fun. It was very difficult to let Ricey Cakes go. But I hope that someone will see the shared posts. And, you know, she was like, well, no one's reached out yet. And I said, well, it takes a couple days. You don't just decide like in 10 minutes, like, yeah, we'll take the dog. You got to think about it a second. Can we do this? Can we make it happen? But I did like hearing about the program they do, which is the Weekend Warriors program. It doesn't have to be on a weekend, but you foster a dog for at least 3 days just so they get out of the shelter. And she was participating in that. She recently lost one of her dogs, which is very sad. But also the dog was 21 years old. So
oh my goodness.
Just the best. It was like the silliest little like toy dog, you know, and it's just like, yeah, she's just lived forever. So rest in peace. But here's where it got crazy. Here's where I'm really bringing the party up. So one of the couples there, you know, we're not really getting into much. And then someone showed up to the party that works with the primates at the Atlanta Zoo. They have a master's and I believe are working on a PhD in animal behavior. And they were like, they kind of just mentioned in passing, oh yeah, like I work with all the primates at the Atlanta Zoo. And she goes, do you really? He was like, yeah. She also worked with all the primates at the Atlanta Zoo like 10 years ago. And so then they start bringing up names and sharing stories, but not of other people that work at the zoo, but of the primates that are at the zoo. And they were comparing personalities of orangutans and talking about the gorillas. And I just heard some of the greatest things I've ever heard. It was the most oopsie daisy into like, here's the deepest conversation you've ever heard about primate care in your life. They're not allowed to share any like pictures from behind the scenes and stuff. But basically they were like, there's different groups of the gorillas. Like the young guys, we would play music for them and they love it. And they said the old lady gorillas would plug their ears. They would plug their ears to be like, we don't want to hear this shit.
So
funny. We don't want this. Then they would also let the primates pick movies to watch. And they would constantly pick Dunstan Checks In, the movie about the orangutan going into a hotel, which I think is fucking absolutely fascinating. They would also play pranks on the primate people and paint pictures for them. But one of the funniest things I heard was there was one particular gorilla whose name I don't remember, who their first trainer knew a lot of sign language and would reward them by sneaking in Happy Meals. Now, allegedly, this policy has changed, as you can imagine. So this gorilla would sign language all this stuff to both of them and would get frustrated that they didn't know more sign language and would allegedly put their hand to their face when they realized they didn't know enough sign language to communicate this far, and then would get very frustrated when they would refuse to bring them Happy Meal. The gorilla would be signing, you bring me Happy Meal. And they would be like, I can't do that. No Happy Meal. And he would get mad. No, why not? I want a Happy Meal. And they were like, there's no more Happy Meals. And he would be frustrated, remembering years ago that he had Happy Meals. They remember faces. One of them, they were talking about contention between one of the gorillas and one of the trainers. And they were like, neither of them were nice to each other. And it really got bad. And then the gorilla bit her finger off. And they were like, we really didn't blame the gorilla because she was kind of asking for it. And I was like, this is crazy. And they did also mention, both of them, that, you know, the gorillas are fairly intelligent, right? The other primates, you know, reasonably intelligent, but not to that level. But the orangutans, they're like, you look at them and you're communicating with them and you realize like they might be smarter than us. There's such a dense level of like emotion and understanding, and they'll trick you into doing stuff. They'll play pranks on you and flick the lights on and off. One of them got a broomstick and was hitting the fans on and off in there and acting and like running away and acting like a ghost or being real moody about stuff. And that they're so strong that you can't really like interact with them in that way because they'll just kill you if they want. Like they don't, isn't, they're not saying necessarily they will, but they will if they want. And it was the most interesting conversation I've heard in years, I think. Just the depth of it, and then passing around pictures of the paintings that these creatures had done. And one of them, they were like, I don't know, maybe I'm making it up, but it looks like a gorilla hanging out. And it was, they used purple for the outline of this gorilla, and then they had the green like vines and the wood behind it in different colors. And I was like, no, 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 I'm with you on this. This gorilla knew exactly what it was painting. This is a gorilla. This is a self-portrait of them looking into that glass, knowing what they're seeing, seeing the vine, seeing this. It was incredible.
God.
I want to go to the zoo. Let's go to the zoo.
Yeah, I would. I love the Atlanta Zoo.
Yeah. And you know what? They were not fond of the pandas because they said they were stupid as fuck, but I do still want to see the pandas before the end of the year. And this is my second open invitation. Speedball, you got to tell me what days you have because you're booked as a motherfucker to come to Atlanta. Veda, please come too. Would love to have them here. Let's go to the zoo.
Yeah.
We got to go to the zoo.
Yeah, we got to go to the zoo.
So come on down. We've got a comfy little place. I know you've slept in worse. I'll clean the room a little bit. We'll be fine. You can see Nicole Kidman, and we'll go to the zoo to see the animals. That was kind of the end of my weekend, though. I came back here. We chilled a little bit. And here we are. One booking. Loved it. Next weekend, L.A. and Albuquerque, like I said. First time in New Mexico. New state for me. And luckily I'll get to spend a little time there to actually look around.
Just, don't break Brad. Don't.
Oh, I'll break Brad. Have you met Brad? He needs a breaking. I'm going to break bread with the Breaking Bad cast. We're going to break bad. There's nothing bad about breaking. Well, okay. We're not going to do that though. If that's what you're hinting at.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Not doing that.
I'm not that girl. I'm not that girl. And I don't want to be that girl. In the gay community, they try to make it sound cuter than it is. It's not cute to do meth. Okay. It's not cute to be cloudy. It's not cute to play with Tina. It's not cute to party. None of it is cute. Stop doing meth, gay people. It's an epidemic in our community.
Okay. This is from Julie Alexander.
Hello.
What has influenced the creation of Effie the character?
Oh, this is a weird question because I'm very much of the, like, I'm not going to correct people when they're like, oh, I love your character, but I don't know if it is. There's an impish, puckish quality to Effie. In my mind, the Effie that is presented out there follows, in a first fight scenario, the either fucking or fighting you, pretty closely. I am a sentient spirit that has been brought to a place. I've been paid to be in front of you in a particular arena. And whatever happens between us is what happens between us. I'm not necessarily expecting to have to fight you. I also believe that Effie is very much of the positive devil force, where it's sort of like, do it, try it. Like, why not? What consequences will there be? And if there are, you'll handle it. You'll be fine. Excess, but honesty and... grandiose honesty, I think, is part of it, which is like, I can be a superstar, but I can also point out at the ground level what I do not like about things around me, which I think is very truthful and honest to me. But I also want it to be, I realized when I started getting over as a babyface early in my career, because I was being a piece of shit heel, I was kind of therapeutically working through being gay in the South. And what I realized is when I became sort of a babyface, I thought, oh, I have to be like a softer fight from underneath kind of person. Then I realized the reason these people were drawn to me is because I was kind of a fucking brat. And I usually have good intentions behind why I'm a brat about things. Like, I'm not just a brat to brat. Like, I'm a brat for a reason. And I realized keeping that sort of, not necessarily negative energy, but, contrarian energy to things, and at least, you know, devil's advocating, so to speak, on like, but why is it that way? Or why does it need to be like that? Or like, you know, why can't I have a little hissy fit and beat your ass? I think that functions into it as well. But I think honesty with the audience has always been sort of the core of Effie, which as a character trait isn't really much of a character because it's very a fourth wall Deadpool-esque thing to not only perform in front of you, but then also allow you in without much restriction and be self-referential.
Deadpool knows that he's in a movie, though.
And Effie knows that he's in a pro wrestling match, right? Does he not? Deadpool does know he's in a movie. I know. The deformed pansexual man? Yeah, look at my fucking head. Okay? I get it. Kind of a wild answer, but yeah, it's a Puck from A Midsummer's Night Dream.
Okay, a little update on the bird flu epidemic.
Oh, fuck.
I grilled a chicken for 2 hours and it still wouldn't tell me why it crossed the road.
Come on! Come on! That's good. The chicken got grilled. Oh, I thought that was going to be a real bird flu epidemic. I got real cream in my coffee and I figure it's going to be one of the last times I can do it.
I switched to goat cheese. That's how I'm dealing with it.
Are goats immune?
That's what I'm telling myself because I love cheese too much.
What is feta cheese made from?
Goat.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm pretty sure.
Well, we need to make sure it's goat cheese feta.
I once did a YouTube series on goat cheese making.
Really?
Yeah, we did like 10 videos.
And how do the goats feel about it?
We didn't, you know, they don't speak English.
I know, I had a goat. He was my brother. Miss you, Peanut.
I'm just thinking of Nick Cage in Season of the Witch going, look at these lambs.
Look at these lambs. And they're goats. Herd of goats. Did you watch that whole movie?
No.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I fell asleep after turning it off. I went to bed. That's how that went.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Zombie apocalypse happened.
All right.
You have to form a group to survive, but you can only choose wrestlers. Who are you choosing? Also, shout out to Allie. Hope she's feeling better.
I mean, I'm choosing. How many are they letting me choose?
Let's say five.
Five?
Yeah.
Cole Radrick, Allie Catch, Manders, Matt Justice. Oh, I can't say the last one because he fucked me.
You good with the
Joey Janela.
Okay.
Joey Janela. Maybe Jimmy Lloyd. I think I have to. I'm love Joey. I'm replacing Joey with Jimmy because Jimmy would be the guy who shows up and he's like, I found a fucking bunker and it's full of supplies.
Yeah.
Joey, I think, would stay in the bunker and eat all the lobster and then be like, guys, you can come in here now. You're like, was there a lot of lobster here? And he's like, I don't know, but
I feel like Joey could be a liability.
I'm a liability too. Me and Joey together, full liabilities.
Yeah.
That's why we're not allowed to hang out that much. When we do hang out, great. But.
So maybe not zombie apocalypse.
It's just two unrestricted fucking superstars.
You can only handle one wild card in a group.
Yeah. I did tell him, though, when I win the belt this weekend that I will give him the first shot and we will have one of the best wrestling matches the world has ever seen and we will be great sports about it and may the best man win, truly. I have so much respect for Joey and I've not wrestled Joey since August of 2020.
Damn.
4 years.
Damn.
We wrestled for 20 minutes outdoors in Indiana in August of 2020. We wrestled a tag match. I don't think that counts. Singles match, Effie versus Joey Janela, has not happened in almost 4 years. Pretty crazy to me. Right?
Yeah.
We got more questions?
We're done. We're done.
Hey, In Tiny Lines has the Effie Lives candle, prayer candle. We sold a lot of them. The website has a bunch of different candles, too, if you want to get other things like Hangman or Kenny Omega candles. But the Effie candles, obviously, are the hottest ones. And you have a...
Thank you to Cody and Bree for the lovely birthday card and birthday gift.
Okay, it took me a while to get it out of the merch case. I've had it in there for a while, and I forgot. But I gave it to you on the Eclipse Day, and I hope the rewards that they brought you were just and great.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, thank you very much.
And guess what? I just want to let them know, I didn't take nothing out of the card. Okay, you can confirm it with them. I would never steal from you, Pitar, unless it's cream sodas.
Unless it's cream sodas.
All bets are fucking off. I'm drinking cream soda.
Did we ever decide what the red flavor is?
No, let's do this now. Okay. Hey, Siri, what's the difference between cream soda and red cream soda? The red cream soda is traditionally flavored with strawberries.
Strawberries.
Which I could see picked up as a bubble gum if it's mixed with the cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I've been told. I think both are delicious. And I also want to say, doing a half and half of ginger ale and cream soda fucking rules.
Mm-hmm.
The spicy tang of that ginger, the creamy cream of that cream. Creamy cream. Cream and brown. Africa and England united. This is the worst thing I've ever heard in that Cadbury video yesterday. Cream and brown. England and Africa together. You fucking, you didn't think this through, did you?
No.
It was the 1970s. I don't know.
That was like a 2018 Cadbury
documentary. No, the video was from 2018, but they were referencing
They
were referencing the old stuff.
Yeah.
Never again will I think cream and brown without thinking of the unity of the colonial fucking pigs of England coming down on Africa and trying to divert their resources away from the local markets. But we do need to get our hands on that African Cadbury cocoa.
We do. Because
you mentioning that cake, I want that fucking cake. We can make a cake.
We can make a cake.
You've baked good cakes. Banana cakes.
Bananas are kind of piling up right now.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything. Do your thing. I've had ground turkey that's been in there for 4 months. I just think I'm going to use.
Yeah.
I'm not. I need to go get rid of it. It's fine. Maybe if we mix the ground turkey with the banana. No, I'm not. That's horrible. What am I talking about? Free Palestine.